Well, I do today is something that's a little bit unusual. Usually, you know, I always work out a pshat in a chumash, so it's always worked out based upon the Rishonim. And the Rishonim really give us the key. I mean, through Chazal, Rashi, there is an ingenious selection from Chazal, give us the key to open up the pshat. And when you really think into the psukim, you see the apparent difficulties, and if you really spend time working through these difficulties, and you come to the right approach, you'll always see that what Rashi mentions or what Chazal mentions just light up, like lights guiding you through the pshat, if you're fortunate enough to come to the correct pshat. So I say that my shiur today is a little bit different, because my shiur today, in that respect, is a deviation. I would like to give a pshat in the chumash, not based upon the Rishonim. It's a pshat that I will show you the connecting to the Rishonim. I can't have a kid of a pshat that has no shaychus to Rishonim. Then you know it's crazy, because if it doesn't have any shaychus to Chazal, it can't be supported by Chazal. It's totally crazy. But I would like to say, I mean, you know, that we have a Masorah that teaches us what we can do and what we can't do, and there are different levels of learning. Like a lot of times you see some of the Chachamim will say lulei de mistafina. They say lulei de mistafina. Nachlas David says a lot of times lulei de mistafina. If I wasn't afraid, I would say this and this pshat in the sugya against the Rishonim. I said, what is he saying it for? He doesn't believe what he is. But I am afraid. So you're afraid, so don't say it. The answer is that Torah gives a person a right to enunciate an idea that he thinks is correct, even if it's not mentioned openly in the Rosh Hashanah, or even if it's different. You see the Ramban in his Agdama writes about Rashi, what a great, how much respect he has for the great Mefarish of Rashi, and many times in his own Pirush, however, he deviates, even from Chazal a lot of times. You know, he'll say, the Chazal say it this way, but the Pshuto is like this. And it means to say, he doesn't mean to negate the Pshat of Chazal and say that it's incorrect ideas, Chalila, but he means to say that there is a there's another avenue, another approach that that could be taken in understanding what the term means. So my shiur today is in that Masorah, based on that Masorah, that a person has a right to follow his reason and to say a pshat, even though this pshat is not found in the openly in the Gedolei Harishonim. So you have to take it in that context and in that framework. It's a pshat which I would preface with a lulei de mistafina. Okay. What I'd like to explain is the few psukim in Bereishis Yudches. All right, after Sheni. Bereishis Yudches after Sheni. Tezayin vayakumu mishom ha'anashim vayashkifu al pnei Sodom va'avram holech imam l'shalacham. Alright, so after they gave the basura to Sarah, one of them gave the basura, two of them were left, okay, right, so they got up And they peered into Sodom. It means the word, it doesn't say, what it means is, if the Torah is trying to tell you that the problem is that they looked into Sodom deeply. That's the problem. It doesn't say they saw Sodom, but yashkifu al pnei Sodom. It means the insight into Sodom was what was responsible for what's going to happen. So Chazal say that we have a Masorah that whenever it says Vayashkifu, except for one place, it's always bad. It means it's always bad when the Torah says that God looks deeply into man. Always bad, because when you look deeply, you always find the underlying human frailties and emotions. So that's the pasuk. Vayikum Mishal Anashim Yashkifu Al Pnei Sodom V'Avram Holech Mal Mishalcha. Next pasuk. V'Hashem Omar Hamachasa Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Osa. Okay, am I going to hide from Avram what I'm going to do? Okay, we don't understand exactly what it means. What do you mean? Is he going to hide? Is he not going to hide? What's the question? Why is this a question? I mean, either God feels that Avram should have the knowledge or he shouldn't have the knowledge. Why is it a question? This is a Hei HaShela. HaMachasa Ani Me'Avram Asher Ani Osa. What is the Hei HaShela doing here? Pasuk should say, but Hashem Amar, that Esa Asher Ani Osa, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to Ani Agid L'Avram. Okay? That's one question. But the next pasuk, the next two pasukim, really become even more incomprehensible. Next pasuk is Va'avram Hayo Yil Goy Gadol V'Atzel V'Nivrchu Bo Kol Goyei Haaretz. So the pasuk says Avram's going to become a great nation, and all the nations of the world will be blessed through him. Okay, this is a pasuk in Lech Lecha, the beginning of Lech Lecha. V'Nivrchu V'Chol Kol Mishkos Adam was already stated. What does that have to do? What's the relationship between this pasuk and the next pasuk and the previous pasuk? It's fine. It's strange. We know this already. What is it adding? What's the continuity? You understand? What connecting link is there between the previous pasuk and this? One question: should I keep away from Avram? Avram is going to be a great nation. So what? Because he's going to be a great nation. That's why he has to know right now he's going to be Sodom. He's going to be a great nation years later in the future. Okay, almost 400 years later. All right. The next pasuk. Again, we have problems. Then it goes on. Ki yadativ, I know him. Laman asher yitzav es bono v'yesbeso achrov. V'shamru derech Hashem laso tzedakah u'mishpat. All right. So God says that Avraham Avinu is going to teach. He's going to teach his children and his household after him. They'll keep the way of God to do two things: tzedakah and mishpat. This tzedakah and mishpat really is everything. Includes everything. Why does it include everything? It includes everything because in the beginning of Bereshis, the Torah makes it clear that God relates to man in two different frameworks. One framework is the framework of the perfect system. Adam comes under the perfect system. That's the first parak in Bereshis, the first parsha, where Nasa Adam etzalmenu kidmusenu, vayivra lekim es Adam etzalmo, that's Elokim. But then when you have the second account, Ela told us, Yom Baral Hashem Elokim, so then it teaches us something else, that man, God doesn't relate to man like the rest of the creation. And he singles man out and shows that he relates to man in a way of chesed, midas harachamim. And he works together with man. When man should die because he veers away from the perfect plan, then God moves in and changes things to make it possible for him to continue to survive. And that's why the Eila told us, the second account, only the Apocrysm always asks, the Apocrysm, how come there are two accounts? It's because they have no knowledge of Torah. The answer is very simple. There had to be two accounts. Because if there were only one account, it would mean that God relates to man in the same way that he relates to the entire Bria. And that's not true. That's why the second account pulls out Adam, singles, you see, the second account revolves around Adam, not around the rest of the Bria. Doesn't talk anything about the stars there. It talks about Adam Harishon, Adam himself. Because it wants to teach you that God relates to the entire Bria in one way, and Adam is also included in that framework. He's part of the entire structure. But then there's another dimension. So, you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Adam in under two frameworks. Under the perfect framework of the first parasha, and under the second framework. That's chesed. So, you know, like the Rambam writes in the end of the Mora, the Rambam writes that what is the... There's one mitzvah that really embodies the whole Kol HaTorah Kula. And what is that? Valachta B'drachav. Valachta B'drachav. Mahu Afata. So it means to say that man has to imitate God in that respect. And it means to say that just like God deals with man in two frameworks, so you also have to deal with man in two frameworks. One framework, you have to deal with him in terms of mishpat, in the perfect way, teaching the perfect ideas, deal with him in the perfect manner, present to him the perfect system. But then when man slips, if you see man is slipping, your fellow man is slipping, then you need chesed. You also have to deal with him the same way. Just like God deals with man in that way, so you have to imitate God. That's lasos tzedakah o mishpat. It's not a contradiction. Tzedakah and mishpat are both true. Mishpat, you have to teach him the perfect way. What does the Rebbe have to do? What does the Rambam say? Lizzes rogue marabatamidim. It means you have to deal with him in the perfect way. But then there's also the element of chesed. If you're dealing with a person in the perfect way and he fails, then just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the man out, you have to help him out too. And that really, that concept, that's why tzedakah is really so important. Tzedakah, and there's one thing I want to point. When we say that we should be like God, the damos elov, imitate God, the damos, similar to God. What does it mean? I mean, the statement itself is something which is astonishing. What do you mean, be like God? Well, we, of course, in terms of God and the creation, I mean, that's the yesod of Kol HaTorah Kulo, that God and his creation have nothing in common. El mi sedam yuni v'eshra, yom ha'kadosh. So we can't imagine anything in the creation that is in terms of existence that has anything to do, anything like God. Chalila, that's kfira. So what does it mean, damos elov? What does it mean to be like God? That was the fantasy of Chava and Nachash. Yisim kelekim yadetavara. Now what it means like this. What it means is that man is given the ability to relate. To relate to his fellow man through two ways, through emotions or through chachmah. And the reason why a person can't really do chesed is because his whole relationship with his chavra is based upon emotions. Identification, so then he gets jealous, and all the emotions come into play. That's why it's so difficult for a man really to be good to his chavra. Because since he's tied into the emotional world, so he's jealous of him, and he gets angry, and he sees that he sees the person, especially what gets a person angry is if somebody else's egoistic trends, which get him very upset because it hits his own ego the wrong way, and then you get involved in all the petty emotions. Man becomes petty very quickly. But there's another way to relate to man, and that is for chachmah, the recognition that he is also a bria. That's the objective plane. In the objective plane, to recognize that this other individual is a Tzelem Elokim, and the Bali Musa really emphasized this point tremendously. But the whole Musa, Slabotka Musa, is based upon one thing, that every person is Yitzir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in theme, it's absolutely correct. It means to say that you have to view your Chavar as a Tzelem Elokim, objectively. That's what it means, Ma'awafata. It means just like God deals with man without emotions, because God doesn't have any emotions. Because he's kadosh, he's removed from his creation. So we too can do it. We too can do it on a small level. In other words, on our level, it's possible for us to get to click into a certain gear in our mind where we relate to another person in an objective plane and framework. And if you do that, then it wouldn't bother you what he does. Even if he says things to you that disturb you, even if he's annoying, his personality is annoying and disturbing, he grinds against you in the wrong way, he's annoying, irritating, that'll only bother you if you're relating on an emotional level. If on an objective plane, it won't disturb you at all. It will not bother you. That's lasos tzedakah mishpat. That's lidamos elov yisbarach. In that sense, men can do it. It's a very hard task, but that's why Torah is not really successful, hasn't been successful in large amounts of people. Okay. Laman hovi ad Hashem al Avram, but now the pasuk goes on. Okay, so first of all, this is what the pasuk is telling us. We're going to shout the pasuk. V'shamur derech ad Hashem lasos tzedakah mishpat. See, that's it. V'shamur derech ad Hashem. What does it mean, derech ad Hashem? V'olachta b'drachav. That's it, right in the pasuk. V'olachta b'drachav. Lasos tzedakah mishpat. That's what Avram does. He operates on that plane. Not only he, but he's going to teach his He's going to teach his children to operate on that, to function on that level. That's the highest thing. That's why this pasuk really is saying, in a few short words, the whole hashkofas ayadas, the whole essence, like the Rambam says, the end of the Mora, the fundamental perfection that man is capable of. Okay, but that's what the pasuk means when we analyze the pasuk insofar as these few words in the pasuk. But now we come to the broader frame. What relationship does this have to do with God destroying Sodom? Okay? Now, what do we don't understand? I mean, it's a beautiful concept. But what does it have to do with Hamachasanim, Avram, Ashrei, Yosef? So what? So Avram is going to be, he's going to teach his children, Beso Achrov, to keep Derech HaRashman, Valachta B'drocha, is very nice. But meantime, that's a long time off. That's a long time off in terms of the ultimate fulfillment of this, means Klal Yisrael. And what does that have to do with Sodom now? Sodom right now is a problem of the moment. Okay? Chata Sodom v'Amor Kiraba. Okay? We don't understand the connection. Okay? The sequence is disturbing. Next, let's take the after the Asnachta, the last half of the puzzle. It becomes even more intelligible. Laman, in order, Hoviyad Hashem al Avraham Eisa Shadibar Olav. In order that God should bring to Avraham that which he spoke about. What does that mean? I mean, I don't even understand what it means. Well, what's this Laman? What are we Laman? I mean, and we have two Lamans. Laman, Hashem Yitzav Ez Banavaz Beisa Akrov, Hashem Adash Nazarim Lishva. And Laman, Hovi Hashem al Avraham, it seems to be like a repetition again, an extension of the previous Laman, somehow related to it. But what does that have to do with it? Laman, Hovi Hashem al Avraham, Eisa Shadibar. You mean, Hashem has to destroy Sodom in order that Avraham should be a Goy Gadol? What's the Sheikhas? It doesn't make any sense. Okay. And here's what I said before. I mean, obviously, I'm not the first one to notice this problem. But, the Gedolei Rishonim talk about it. Rashi. See, Rashi speaks about it. The Ramban speaks about it. And, Kihu Mitzava, Rashi says, Laman Hovi Kihu, Kachu Mitzava Levonov. Shimru Derech HaDashem, Kidei Sheyovi HaDashem Al Avraham. Okay? So Rashi tries to tie the two together. He says, Lamana Sheyetzavez Banov, what does it mean? Lamana Sheyetzavez Banov, Hishmitzava His Banim, that Laman Hovi Hashem Al Avraham is part of the Tzivoy. I mean, I can't say that, insofar as the Pshuto Shel Mikra, there's something which still disturbs me after that shot. It doesn't fit into the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Okay, so that's why I'm taking the liberty to propose another possibility. As you know, I mean, as I said before, it doesn't necessarily mean that Rashi's possibility is not implied as well. I mean, it's the mikra is the chachmas hakasav is infinite. But I think that I may have a pshat that would explain the pshuto shel mikra on the surface also. The Ramban deals with the same problem just about. I mean, the Ramban also tries to answer. It says, Ki yadati bo shu makir v'yodea sh'ani Hashem o'ev stokho mishpat klomo sh'ani osa mishpat rak b'tzdokho v'lochein yitzave es bonov es beso achov lechos daker Hashem. Okay, that's good, if also. Now, where is the rest of the pasuk? He says he also has a problem. So the Ramban wants to say that what's the continuity of the psukim? He's also bothered. What's the continuity? So he wants to say like this. Van Eden like Rashi, he rejects Rashi also. So the Nachon. Ki Hashem Yisbarach Diber Bekovar Avram. Omar Hineu Asid Lios Lagai Gadol Vatzum V'Yiyah Zichro Bezaro V'Chol Gai Yaris Lavracha V'Chein Loach Asmen Ki Yom Radoras Haboyim Eich Kiso Mimeno O Eich Nisach Zer Atzadik Ashchena. He says the reason what the Pasuk is saying is that they shouldn't later say things not nice about Avram. So that's what it means. Again, I mean, I have problems with it because it's a kind of extraneous. The pasuk seems to be saying, the pshuto seems to be saying something essential here. Not that somebody later is going to say something, but right now God is saying that this is wrong. Amachasani me'avra. Okay. Those are my problems. Now, there's another question that I have with the very tefillah. with the very tefillah. There's something I want to mention, Agav Rocha, that I think it's important, that's important. In the Pasuk, Vayomer Hashem, Zakas Don V'Amar, Ki Rabba V'Chatasim V'Chov D'Moy. Take a look at Pasuk Chaval. Er Dono V'Era, HaKetzah Koso HaBo'o Eilai Osu, Kola V'Imlo Eda. Okay, you have to stop. The Pasuk requires you not to know what the comment is there. But, Er danov era. What is er danov an era? So Rashi says, we made the dayonim shelo yifsiku dinin efashis elaburiya. Okay? What was Rashi saying? We made the dayonim. What do we mean the dayonim? So this is a yisod. The yisod in Kala Torah Kula is that whenever you have an anthropomorphic statement, it is not to be taken literally. Okay? And it's something I discussed on my trip this week, because the question is always, this is the avodah zarah nature of man, is always trying to make God perceivable through the senses, because the senses give him a false sense of reality. All right, so that's avodah zarah, trying to perceive God through the senses. So whenever they see these kind of things, they immediately jump in. But I proved that the Rambam, of course, goes out of his way to say that none of these—it's kfira and the worst thing possible to believe that these psukim are literally. Take these psukim literally. But I want you to know there's also a proof that they can't be taken literally. Okay, it's not just that the Rambam said it. See, a lot of times they say, okay, so you're saying it's not literal, but maybe it is literal. Can you show it to me? It's easily, if you have a certain kind of knowledge, it's easily demonstrable that these things in the Torah were not meant literally. It's not just a statement, a claim made by Chazal. You see, it's not just a claim. Because whenever you have an anthropomorphism, which means that you speak about God in human terms, a person does that for one or two reasons. Either because he wants to construe God that way. His tendencies are coming through. His primitive tendencies are coming through. The only other possibility is, of course, like the Torah does, is a mashal. Right? Now, if you have any knowledge of psychology, and if you've ever studied the writings from people, cultures that existed at the time of the Torah, you'll see their anthropomorphism is never limited. On the contrary, it satisfies that desire. They talk about when they have their gods, they talk about they give a little history of their gods first, how they're up in the sky, and how they live like in a totally physical way, and they ascribe the physical phenomena, the eating, sleeping, etc., and then all these different things that they you can see from the writings that these tendencies, these primitive tendencies, are coming through. And the Torah is not that way. On the contrary, you'll never see, as Rambam says, you'll never see, for instance, God ate. You won't see these kind of things. It's limited exclusively to certain situations. And every situation that you find it in always contains an idea. Always contains an idea. Like what Aaron said to Moshe, "V'chalta chatasayam ayita b'nei Hashem, ayita." Will this be pleasant in the eyes of God? Pleasant in the eyes of God. God doesn't need us to keep His mitzvahs, and it makes no difference in whether we keep mitzvahs or not. But it means to say that this is correct in truth. This is the correct thing. Now, if this is correct, if you do the right thing, then this action is the right action. It's always a revelation about the nature of the action. Vayichar Hashem means to say, this action is away from the action that is in line with the reality that God created and allowed us to participate in. You see? That's why I have to be very careful. If a person uses an anthropomorphism, I wouldn't suggest anybody use anything. But I'm saying, if a person, what happens is it becomes a license. They just say kava yachol and they say whatever they want. But if you listen carefully, when they start doing that, they start saying things that have nothing to do with reflections upon actions, but have to do with real anthropomorphism. This is avodah zarah. is a varzah. Like one time I heard a Rav who was in a different city for Shabbos, and it was the parsha of Vayikra, and Reach Nichalach Ishal Hashem. So he took off on that one, and he said that we have to try to think of what we can do for God. Okay, Reach Nichalach Ishal Hashem. This is a chalul on the contrary. Reach Nichalach Ishal Hashem is precisely stated in Kabbanos, because what it's trying to teach you is that what is the way that is pleasing in the eyes of God, using the anthropomorphism in the Torah, pleasing, what is the correct action? Is kabbanis according to Allah. Not man's idea of kabbanis. That's why it says it again and again, that this is the correct way. When you do it according to the halacha in Teres Kahana, that's precisely why the Pasuk says so many times. But unfortunately, man corrupts things, and he distorts, and then he caters into his emotions. So that's a principle that if you check through every time that it uses an anthropomorphic statement, it's trying to teach you that this action is either good or not good. And if it doesn't teach that, there's no such thing. So I'm not just saying that this is a claim made by the Rambam and Chazal. Not a claim, it's a claim that holds true. If you go through every one, you'll never find one which is just a description, an idle description. No such thing. Every description always reflects on an action, and it's very easy to go off the track. And you see people do who don't have any knowledge or understanding. Rashi has a different principle also. That's what Rashi says over here. Rashi says, Erdono lomad ledayonim shelo yifseku din nefashis al baria. Rashi says there's another reason why the Torah does it. It's a reason is to teach man certain things. In other words, when the Torah is anthropomorphic, the reason is to teach you something. You see? Like, for instance, the Rav, what brought this to my mind was, I heard one time a shiur from the Rav, and in passing, yes, I mentioned, he mentioned, Vayarad Hashem is kol asher asa v'hine tov ma'od. The Rav said that Vayad Hashem, the first Kol Shiras is in the end, but in every stage it says Vayad Hashem Kitov. So the Rav said, what do you see from this? Is you see that a person has to stop when he's doing something and reflect, retrospection. You have to take a look at what you did. So it just stuck in my mind, and then I saw the Rashi's, a lot of Rashi's, and they brought to my attention, passed my attention. We also say by Darflaga, what is it over there? Erdonova era. What does Rashi say on Erdonova era? Vayered Hashem, Liro So'ir Vesam Migdol. So what does Rashi say on the spot? Lo Hutzrach Lakach, right? Lo Hutzrach Lakach. Elo Lalamed Vayon. So it means to say that every time the Torah speaks this way, Rashi says there's another principle involved, and that is it's trying, since there's a mitzvah of Lidamos Elov, so the Torah speaks in a way that should teach you an idea of how you should practice, how you should act. You shouldn't. The dayanim cannot go according to their emotions. They must investigate the case carefully. That's a limud. That's Rashi's principle. And I found it goes straight through Rashi. That idea goes straight through Rashi. So there's two concepts insofar as the anthropomorphism. It's a side point, but I cannot think of anything more significant. Okay, it's Yisodei Hadas. Now, let's go back. So now you have these psukim, and the question is, what's the continuity? What's the sequence of these psukim? Now let's take a look at another problem that is very striking insofar as Noam is concerned, and that is the tefillah of Avram himself. What does the tefillah say? Vayigash Avram vayoma ha'af tispet tzadik im rasha. What does it mean ha'af tispet tzadik? What does it mean ha'af tispet tzadik im rasha? Just a plain shot. Ha'af tispet tzadik im rasha. What do you mean? It means, are you going to destroy the righteous person together with the non-righteous? The righteous, the tzaddik, you're going to destroy with the rasha, right? I mean, what does he say? In other words, was he being mispowel for hatzolas hatzadikim? Was that really his tefillah? In other words, was Avraham Avinu saying, okay, destroy the entire Sodom, but get the tzaddikim out? It doesn't fit in with the rest of his tefillah. Why? Ula yesh chamishim tzaddikim b'sal cho'ir. What are you, chamishim tzaddikim or what? And two tzaddikim is not good? And you only say 50? You can't say 2? And you can't say 3? 1? All right, look, you say it. But if his tefillah was that, that doesn't seem, then what do you need this whole Seder Advarim? Ula yesh chamishim tzaddikim, the Rashi explains, first chamishim, the 5 cities, and the 4 cities, and the 3, so the whole arichas, right? So this doesn't seem to be in line with his tefillah. Cholila lecha me'asos kadover azeh. What does he say? Lohom is tzaddik in Russia. Voyachat tzaddik in Russia. What do you mean? That's not the tefillah. He says it before, and he said ulei yesh chamishim haaf tisper lo sisa lamakom leman chamishim asim rasha bekevah. So pasuk chof dalit says that what? That he's mispower for the makom, not for the individuals. And then pasuk chof A goes back again to the original theme. Cholil lechom esas lechom es tzaddik in Russia. Voyachat tzaddik in Russia. It's a tattered disaster. It's a contradiction. Besides the fact that it's an internal contradiction, it's against the principle of Yadus that we have after Matan Torah. What is the apostle? What do we say? It's a klal. Chazal say, Kivon Shenitin Rishus L'Mashvis Eino Mafchin Bein Tov L'Ra. At once, Achman on the Slan, there's a destruction. There's a plague, destruction. The Mashkis, the Malach HaMavis, doesn't differentiate between Tov and Ra. I don't care how great the Tzaddik is. But God doesn't change His laws of nature, even for the greatest Tzaddik, and just magically scoop out the Tzaddikim. Doesn't do it. Okay? So Ein HaMavchim Ein Tov L'Ra. Alright? So Avraham Avinu didn't know that principle. Rashi again is bothered with that problem. Rashi about the problem. Rashi says, Rashi, what? Good. The question is that why don't we ask why should that it's the other way is also not good, that the guilty should be saved because of the tzaddik? See, that doesn't bother me. I'll tell you why. Because when a person is guilty and he's chayav misa, what does it mean? It means very simply. It means that God created man to exist in a certain shape and form. Okay? The moment he deviates from that form, there is no will, God's will for in terms of existence, I'm using everything metaphorically, of course, you understand, doesn't relate to that creature anymore. In other words, we only exist because of God's will that existence should continue. You see? After Shabbos, after the harmony in the universe, so now God's will relates to the system. The system should continue. Now, the moment something in the system deviates, that's the kibiyo machocho mimenu mos tumas. When he didn't die, what does it mean mos tumas? It means the moment you deviate your form, your tzelem alakim, there's no reason for you to exist anymore. You're going to cease to exist. Because your existence is equivalent to your non-existence, because God's will doesn't relate to such a thing. God created oxen, horses, different things. He created man, but man has a certain surah. Now the will of God only relates to that surah, that surah should continue. So when a person is high of Misa, it means simply he's deviated from that surah, and now there's no more will for existence, so he ceases to exist. Okay? But Avraham Avinu's argument would be very good. He'd say like this. He'd say, yes, but the tzaddikim are in line with your will of existence. So therefore, it is appropriate that the will of God should even sustain the Russia because of the tzaddik. Because if the Russia perishes, so then it's simply because the Russia doesn't deserve to exist. But the tzaddik perishing is removing the existence of God. So therefore, God should tolerate the existence of the Russia, which is equal to non-existence anyways. It's just a matter of, you understand what I mean? There is no distortion. It's a distortion. I mean to say, not in the positive sense. Whereas if you remove the tzaddikim, then you're taking away the essence of God's will of existence. So Avraham Avinu said, and that's really what his tefillah is. He said, that's cholila l'chol me'asos kadavar hazeh. That if you have both, So then your will should extend to the Russia, because the Russia is necessary now for the tzaddik. So what do you care if the Russia lives? That's really the essence of it too. It's a deep philosophical concept that he was saying in Lahoma Tzaddik in Russia. You see? Because everybody looks at the Russia, he's bad, we have to destroy it. That's the way we look at it. But God looks at it in a different way. It means there's no reason for his existence. Rishis, in reality, the Russia is not... The Russia is not as the actual idea of a Russia is not as bad, I would say, and I mean it. I don't mean it in a literal sense. Not as bad as we think. It's really worse, but emotionally, it's not as bad. Okay. See, we give the Russia some kind of existence, but we say he's horrible. You got to destroy him. The Torah doesn't have the horrible, but it doesn't give him any right to exist to begin with. So philosophically it's worse, but emotionally it's better. Okay? That's because what? Yeah, that's right. I agree with that. The only thing is the pasuk, the literal interpretation, the plain shot in the pasuk doesn't agree with that. Because then he should have just kept to his theme that he mentions in the middle pasuk, in pasuk of Dalit. Ah, tispevelosisol amakom. That's it, the makom. What is he going to Lama Sadik in Russia? He's not saying that. So Rashi, of course, it didn't escape Rashi's critical eye, and he immediately says like this. He says, Cholila lacha, chafei, see? Vim toma, lo yatzilu atzadikim eser shoyim, loma tomes atzadikim. All right? I have problems. I explained to you what the problems are with the Rashi. All right. So... what I want to say is like this, that the Yetamadra, that you take a look at Parshas Lech Lecha. Okay? Parshas Lech Lecha, the first pasuk. Em and Hashem Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'maladetecha me'beis avicha. But now go backwards to the pasuk before. All right? I mean, we have a big stop, but usually you forget this parasha and start the new one like it's another thing, you know? But in the Torah is the end of a parasha, but it's not the end of the week, you know what I mean? It's one continuum. Vayiyu mei serach chomei shonim imasayim shona, vayomas terach b'char. Okay? Then, vayomad ashmal rom lachom asma lavacha, right? Okay. So why, I mean, Rashi raises the question, why does it say vayomas terach b'charon? It sounds like he died before, and then next God said, Lech Lecha Me'atzcha, but the truth of the matter is he survived, I believe, 60 years, 60 more years? Right. So, I mean, I don't have to count my head. But Rashi says that he survived a long time afterwards. So the Torah should have placed the death of Terach later. Okay? So Rashi says the reason is that the Torah wanted to hide something here, disguise something. You see, teaching Torah is a very hard thing. Why? See, for a philosopher, a thinker, a scientist, he only has one thing on his mind. To find out what the idea is. And then quickly get to the press before anybody else does. But in Torah, we have serious problems. Not just if a person gets the idea, it's very nice, but then the question is what to do with the idea. Do you tell anybody? Do we know that there's that Chachmei Yisrael had much, much more knowledge than they conveyed. As a matter of fact, they knew that certain things you can't, you're not allowed to convey, certain knowledge. Real metaphysical knowledge, you're not allowed to convey. Alright? The Torah uses the same method. The Torah's method is there are certain things that have to remain hidden. When you teach a person, you can't teach a person. You have to reach the person where he's at with his emotions. If he's over at Avodah Zarah, you have to reach him some way without killing him, because he's so distorted that if you hit him with the truth straight, you're going to ruin the guy. So even in Ovid Avodah Zarah, that was the job of Avraham Avinu. What was Avraham Avinu? Taught Ovid Avodah Zarah. But he was a master at teaching them, in other words, at reaching some point in their thinking that he could have them relate to, you see, and then start drawing them slowly, slowly. It's an Adam. You're working with an Adam. You can't just give him the truth and tell him things that in his frame of mind, they just reject them outright. That's it. So the Torah over here teaches us that idea. That if you teach a person, tell a person that Avraham Avinu, his old father was an Ovid Avodah Zarah, And he just sacked them, left them there to die. He didn't care about them, took off. Because basically he was worthless. He's not going to accept this. He's not going to go against his emotions, like Rashi says. Because people will say that what? Lokiem Avram has covered Ovid, Shehinia Hinicho Zokin Vaholachlo. Okay? Lefichoch Kara Kosov Mace. Okay? He wasn't dead. Rishonim Afachem Kuru Mace. Okay. That's it. He's dead. His existence equals non existence. But Avram didn't have any problem with it because, he knew reality is right. But people are going to have a problem with this because everybody has a feeling that there's an emotional feeling of Kibirov. Very few people are on the rational, the chachma and the limud of the Kibirov, and they're using to the emotion. Emotions say, how could he do this? He's a terrible person. What kind of a person is this? You see? So the Torah disguised this. Didn't want anybody to know. So it hid it by the juxtaposition of these two psukim. Okay? So what I want to say is like this. Based upon that, I want to say over here that there's something that is hidden as well. Something the Torah is not disclosing. It's hidden. The Torah didn't want people to know it in general. But it's something which the Torah wrote it in a way that you can reconstruct it. You can reconstruct it. If you search carefully, if you search carefully between the lines, you'll be able to reconstruct it. Okay. See, take a look. You see, there's a funny thing about Sodom. A few funny things about Sodom. First of all, Sodom, you see, Lot was very close to Avram, right? The Gamla Lot HaHolechas Avram HaYetzonu Vokav HaOlem. Alright, so the Pasuk says, why did Lot become so wealthy? Because he was a smart person, he went with Avram. He cashed in on the side benefits. But it means also that he learned from Avram. HaHolechas Avram means that he wasn't Avram, but in certain respects he learned from Avram. Avram was his Rebbe. He wasn't a good Talmud, but he still was a kind of a Talmud. I mean, he did learn something from him. You see, the Chesed, when they came, the Malachim came, he ran out, everything. He didn't give his daughter. Oh, he was crazy, but he still tried. I mean, something he tried to, he absorbed some kind of knowledge from Avram Avinu. I mean, and you have to say, that it wasn't just nothing. I mean, he followed him to a degree. Okay? It wasn't Eliezer, but he followed him to a degree. How could he go and move into stone? And it's something we don't understand. Right, so Chazal say, Vayehal Atzdom, and you see that he was a Russian, he liked Znus, and he enjoyed that aspect as it drew him there. Yeah, I understand, but still the Kasha saw something strange that Avram and Sodom are Tante to Sasri, and he's going to Sodom. And what does it say? It says, when the Malachim came to Sodom, it says, Velot Yoshev Bishan Sodom, Osa Yominu Shofet Aleihem. They appoint them as a shofet. So, it's Kirchot Mizrach Mimaira. How could he have anything to do with these people? What is he doing in a Sharon Sodom? Okay? Yeah, that's one thing that's strange. Another thing that's strange is that you have in the Parsha before that Avram himself, it seems, had some interaction with Sodom. With who? With Melech Sodom. Yeah, where is it? It's in, the Malachim, Bar Malachim, right? Where is it? End of Tesvav. End of Tesvav? No, Tesvav. Where is it? So Yudalid. Yeah. Vayetzim and Yudalid Zayim. Vayetzim and Yudalid Lekrosso, Acher Yeshuvah, Meyakosis, Gedol, Lomas, and Lomas, Yerito, Umalki Tzedech, Melech Sholem, Hotz Lechem, Vayoyin, Vuhuchu, and Lekel Elyon, right? Then Vayom, Melech Tzom, Alavron. Kenli on Nefesh or Chush Kachloch. Okay? Right? It sounds like this doesn't sound like the Russia you expect. This is Melech's Dom. I mean, it's really the Melech. The people of Roshayim, and that's what they excel in. Imagine the Melech. But it says, no, Kenli on Nefesh or Chush Kachloch. All right, Vayam of Melech's Dom. He didn't say, I can't talk to your Russia, Marusha, get away from me. No. Harimoisi Yodi Eladashem Kelel and Kuni Shemayim Vars. Immi Chutvats Rochnav Nechav Koshloch. Below Soma Ani Ashat Yasavrach. It's a funny kind of, what is he saying? I mean, it's funny. He doesn't say, you're Russia, Marusha, can't have anything to do with you. I don't want you to say that you made me wealthy. I made Avram wealthy. What if he says it? It takes away from, they say it takes away from the the Kiddush Hashem, the Havtocha, and the Hashgacha, that people will see there's a special Hashgacha for Avraham Avinu. I understand, but still there's something lacking of it. There's a lot of Somani Hashatzos. He says, I don't want anybody to think. What's below Somani Hashatzos Avraham? The lo yomer she anoshim hashiras Avram, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Masha Avram. No, lo soma aniya shatis Avram. What kind of a criticism is this? What is he trying to tell him? Okay. Now I'll tell you what I think the solution is problem. You see, the Rambam says that Avram Avinu. What did Avram Avinu do? Avram Avinu really, as the Rambam says in the Moreh Nevuchim, was considered a non-religious person in the society. He was an apostate. Because what did he do? His mind started to work. He started to think. It took him to church with all the Avodah Zarah from his early youth on, but there was some agitation that took place in his mind, and he started to think. Just a second, what are they saying? This, that. He started analyzing. And he started to analyze and analyze for 30, for 40 years. 30 some ideas. The Medrash seems to say, the Medrash says he was 3 years old. What does it mean? He's 3 years old. He's 3 years old. He's old. I mean, Avram was also a child. You don't say. He was an outstanding child, but you can't say that at 3 he was in metaphysics. What it means is that there was something in his nature. The mind, the Tzelem Elokim, was undistorted. And he started to, and as much as they tried to influence him with all the emotional and societal forces, but still it couldn't put to rest that Tzelem Elokim that was agitated and started to quest for the truth. So what happened? So he started to disprove about his life. Logically, there was no Nevuah at that time. After 40 years old, until the Bris Man of Samaria said, God and that God spoke to him. Okay? So what did he do? He logically disproved Avodah Zarah. He showed that these ideas are crazy from several aspects. First, he showed they're crazy philosophically. Then he explained to people also where they come from psychologically. And he showed them the whole concept of what is Avodah Zarah. It's your projections onto reality, wish fulfillments, fantasies, and you're taking your children and you're destroying them because of your crazy fantasies. And you think that this is going to find favor in a God that you created in your mind when in fact nothing of the like exists and all you're doing is destroying your life. It's a waste of time, a waste of life, a waste of time. Torture for no reason at all. Because over the Avodah Zarah, they torture themselves also. You know? It's not a pleasant kind of a thing. You read like, for instance, the Indians, the Sundance, I mean, it's one of the reasons. It's torture, absolute torture. But the all these different things. All these, the terraces, you know, Sarm Laistus Aratas. It takes a certain amount of commitment to be an Avodah Zarah. That's what's going So Avraham Avinu showed them that this is just a waste of time. Just nonsense. But he also showed them something else. That's the first step. You have to uncover all the nonsense. And all the nonsense, it's a hard thing when the whole society is geared for this. I mean, like, even see today, you see those crazy Christians that they take these snakes and they, This is it. When I saw that, I saw it on the film. I mean, when I saw that film, I just took me back to the time of Avraham Avinu. You see, this is amazing. It's unbelievable. You see what a human being is capable of. But distorting human being. But the thing is that the at any rate, the point I'm making is this, that Avraham Avinu taught the people that all this is nonsense, philosophically nonsense, where it comes from psychologically, the whole gamut. And he explored this for 30 years. That was his whole... That's all he did during those years. Get every single... What does Chazal say? At 400 Masechtos and Avodah Zarah. It means he knew every nuance, understood everything, the whole idea of Avodah Zarah. Thoroughly, down to the roots of the human nature. And he explained this. He taught this. Then he taught something else. He taught that there is an idea of God. God exists. God is the source of all existence. There is a source to everything we see. But this source can only be reached through Chachma. Through Chachma, not through the emotions, through Chachma. And when you use your Chachma and understanding, you'll see that everything that works, anything we see, is always related to a chain of causality. An unbelievable world of ideas that exists beneath the surface of what we see. And this world of ideas, that's real. That's reality. And the source of this reality is God. That's what he thought. And therefore, he told them, he says, in order to be aligned with reality, you have to tap into that world. Tap into that world. That's when you're living. That's when you're existing. That's when you're existing. That's what he taught. So what he did was, first of all, he destroyed the concepts of the Avodah Zarah, and then he taught the true ideas of the real God. Kel Elyon, Tonei Shemayim of Arts. You see? That's what he taught. Now, what happened was, you can imagine Avraham Avinu in his time was quite an astonishing figure. I mean, he was it's true that he was considered an apostate, and the Rambam says there are records of Avraham from the other side that call him an irreligious man, and of course that's what they would call anybody, you know, that goes against religion, an apostate, irreligious, non-religious man. This man is teaching us that the religion is wrong. So Avraham was very courageous, and he was, not only did he teach what is true, I mean, and I mentioned this one time, Socrates was also very courageous, he taught what is true, but Socrates never went against the religion of the land. Avraham Avinu was more courageous than Socrates. Avraham Avinu realized that the idea of God is the one idea, whatever a person does in his life revolves around that idea. A wrong notion over there is a total distortion. And he went against the religion of the land, which is the most dangerous thing for a person to do. Anyone that knows anything about this is the most dangerous thing to do. But he was very courageous, and he didn't care. And the Rambam says, and we have a Masorah of the Kivshin Aish, the Rambam doesn't say Kivshin Aish, question. Rambam says, this much we know, that he escaped only through a nes. Okay? I'm saying Kivshin Aish is my plug, he's been answered this one. Whatever it means, whatever it means. But it means this much we know. He only escaped miraculously. Miraculously. In other words, he himself apparently wasn't aware of how dangerous it was. And there was a nice mamash that he got out of there. Otherwise, he would have been killed. So, he was quite an astounding figure in his day. Now, you understand that when we have a society, so you have different people. You have the religious people that are crazy and never reach together. But then you have people who are also borderline religious. Not such religious people. A lot of them are rebellious, too. So, a lot of them, still, when they hear somebody comes out against their religion, a lot of these religious people are a little bit happy too. They also don't want to suffer too much pain, and like I said before, there's a big commitment there, and they're happy to get out of this. Maybe he's right, maybe these guys are crazy. So he had he affected different people in different ways. Some wanted to kill him, some, you see, followed him, right? Vayorkaschanichov, Yelid Beis, was how many? Floshim, a few hundred people, 300 people that he had, huh? 318, I think the Rambam says he had, the Rambam says in the Mora, someone says that he had thousands. The Rav once said, I don't know where the Rambam got this from. but the Rambam said he had a very big following. I wanted to bring a raya once from the Pasuk later, where it says, by Kilo Yuchlun Hamitzrim Lechol Asa Ivrim Lechem Kiso Eva Hilo Mitzrayim. So what does it mean the Egyptians couldn't eat with the Ivrim? Who are the Ivrim? It's just Yaakov and a few people. What is the Ivrim? Apparently, you see from the third that the supports the Ram, that there were thousands of people that followed him. And that's why they knew the Ivrim. They knew these people, the Aver, from the Aver Nahar, Avram's group, they couldn't tolerate them. So he was a great philosopher and a thinker, and he had a big following. But then you have to understand that some people follow all the way. Some people rejected him, but then there was another phenomenon. People that followed halfway. Who were those people? I say that was Sodom. Sodom followed him halfway. What did Sodom do? Saddam agreed with him. They were very intelligent people. They agreed with him, you know, you're right. We are killing ourselves for nothing. We're suffering torture for nothing. It's all nonsense. Absolutely right. But that we buy. But the second half, we don't quite accept. That there is a God that is the source of all reality. Or maybe we wouldn't accept that. But that what we can't accept, essentially, not so much that idea. That idea is not so hard. If they're intelligent, so they'll see that idea. But the question is, should that affect our lives? I mean, it's very nice. There's a God. It's a source of our reality. Very good. But why do I have to do anything now? He's a source of reality. It doesn't do with us. Very nice. So therefore, they came up with a new philosophy. What was their philosophy? Philosophy like this. Avram is right. We were crazy. And you know something? We lost out an awful lot. Of course, all our instinctual, instead of satisfying our instincts, we went into the reaction formation and we were killing ourselves with these torturous things. He's right. What do we do now? New philosophy. We satisfy our instincts, you see. There's no reason to be crazy like these people have been teaching us. What we do is we live a logical, instinctual life. It's almost like today, except they were logical. But they were very logical. What they said is like this, a very simple thing. They said, really, the way to enjoy life is through the instinctual. That's the way God, the same God that you, Avram, are talking about, he made us this way. You'll notice that we have a lot of instincts. So therefore, you're telling us we should sublimate these instincts. We're saying that we should enjoy them. That's the difference. So therefore, they set up a system. They said, 1 second, but there's a problem. One big problem. If everyone's going to enjoy their instincts, we're going to destroy each other. It's obvious. How are you going to have a society? So everybody's going to try. For instance, one of the most powerful instincts in man is the sadistic instinct. Okay? Freud showed that. It goes back to early childhood. Sadism is a very powerful instinct. People, sadism is one of the most powerful instincts, but it's kept under cover, sort of, because people don't want to admit it. You see, but just look through history. You see, it's always there. So it's covered up with all kinds of things, but basically it's a very powerful emotion. So they saw that. They had a good rebbe. I mean, after all, he showed them all the instincts. They saw it's a very powerful instinct. They said it's a wonderful thing. The only problem is if we engage in this instinct, we're going to just destroy each other. We're not going to have too much fun. Everybody's going to be killing each other. So he said, we have a way to do it. The way to do it is we make a community where we have an agreement. Social contract, like some philosopher, social contract, social agreement, that we will not express our sadistic tendencies towards each other, because then we're going to be destroyed very quickly. But we have a system of law where we cannot express these instincts towards each other, because otherwise, as a society, we're going to be destroyed. Yes? It's an agreement. So now think like this, that the system that they created was a system which they said, basically, they have to have this side. Now, what happens, however, to the stranger that comes here? Oh, that's a different story. Stranger visitors, a little different. Here, we don't have to protect ourselves because we're guaranteed through our system of justice. So, as a matter of fact, we love to have visitors come here. That's precisely when we could involve ourselves in our enjoyments of our instincts. So they put up a sign, 10 miles to Saddam, on your way, stay in such and such a motel, you're almost there, we're waiting for you. And people would come by. And they would accommodate them in a very unusual way. You see from the stories of Chazal, from the stories of the Medrash, the extent of their sadism. I mean, their sadism was really advanced. They wouldn't just torture people, they tortured them in a way where they would act as if they're trying to help them. That's like a more vicious level, more calculated. Like, we want you to fit the bed. Unfortunately, the bed's too wide. Well, we'll have to accommodate you. Stretch your body. You see, put them on the rack. Or if he was too long, well, we have to amputate a few. You have to fit perfectly into the bed. What's the story with Eliezer? Eliezer, he came to the... somebody punched him, he was bleeding. So they came to the judge. So the judge says, oh, you're right. This is like a question of justice over here. But 1 second, I think that if a person helps another person by In those days, they thought that if you take blood, you know, if you were to let blood, that it's a wonderful thing. In other words, he said to Eliezer, in other words, he let blood for you. Oh, you owe him some money for that. So you have to pay him. So Eliezer hit the judge, and the judge is winning. He says, whatever I owe him, you pay him. You owe me now. I owe him, so don't pay. There's not enough. I'll hit you again. The Medrash Mishnah story. So, I mean, they were a little surprised. I mean, this was like a new legal insight. I mean, they weren't ready for this. But, okay. So you see, all these stories the Medrash bring down are really stories that have to do with the viciousness was really worked out to a degree that I would say, in this society, you see that sadism is really one of the most powerful emotions. I maintain that there's no question about it, but I'll say something else. That man always covers it up. I mean, it's pure. You look through Yimach Shemam, the Christians, and the way they destroyed all sadism, that's what it is. Covered up with religious and all kinds of excuses and things. Basically, it's sadism. That's what it is. You have to be honest. The Torah teaches us to be honest. That's the man doesn't want to recognize it. That's what. But Sodom was very honest. They were advanced. They had a good rebbe, Avraham Avinu. They didn't cover anything up. That's it. Straight. Let's get down to the emotion. So this was the basically Sodom was the sadistic society. You have three societies in the Torah. You had the Dor HaMabul. That's the society of lust, the lustful society, Dar Flugga, the egoistic society, and then you have the sadistic society. That's Sodom. So, what does it say? It says, the Chatas Nomarik Rabba, it says, Chatas Nomarik Rabba, the Tzakosom Kichov Dama'od. And what does Chazal say? That was this girl that they took and they poured honey on her and they allowed, they stood by enjoying how she suffers as the bee stung her. What does it mean to say? What does Chazal mean to say? It means to say that the open sadism, you see, was why God had to destroy them. We haven't had a society like that. You have to realize that. Societies after that, I mean, there's one thing you see about the Torah. In the Torah, when you have a Russia, he is really an advanced Russia. Not just a plain Russia. It's not so easy to be such a Russia like this. It's advanced. It was thought out, planned out. That's why I said, today's society are also sadistic, but there's an illogical about it. It was a logical system. Okay? That's why Sodom had to be destroyed. But, you'll see that what are Chazal saying? Chazal say, V'anshe Sodom, Yud Gimel. Panshei Sodom Royim Vachatoyim Ladoshem Ma'od. Alright? What does Rashi say? Royim Vachatoyim Ladoshem Ma'od? What do you mean Ladoshem Ma'od? Rashi says, Yodim Ribonom Umeschavnim Limrodba. Where did they get this Yodim Es Ribonom? Where did they get this idea? The answer is from Avraham Avinu. That's what I mean. Yodim Es Ribonom. They knew there's a God. But Meschavnim Limrodba. They said his existence has nothing to do with the way we live. What we want to do is enjoy our instincts. No more guilt. No more crazy sacrifices. We just enjoy the instinctual life. And that's what they did. It wasn't just Stam, a visitor happened to come to Sodom. That was a planned thing. Lot, you see, so Sodom really in the beginning followed Avram. That's why Melech Sodom, Avram didn't look at as such a horrible person. Why? Because in my opinion at that time he was following Avram and he was knocking down, they went through a stage where they were destroying the idea of Avodah Zarah, but as they kept on going, they came to the opposite conclusion in terms of how to live. They came to the conclusion of the rational, instinctual life. That was their conclusion. That's why Lot was really able to go to Sodom. Because in a sense, Sodom was really in a process where they were following Avram at a certain point, but then what happened was, they kept on developing. And two, it was Van Shaystom Royim Vachatan L'Rashem Ma'od. It reached a certain point. It was a developmental process. But they respected Avram. As a matter of fact, you see, Melch Stone says, Tein li anefesh, rachush kach lach. Why? Because he was a follower of Avram in terms of his philosophy. He was following Avram in one aspect. In one aspect. But Avram, at that time, knew that this, that these kind of Talmidim are a little spurious. He had a little doubts about them. So he said, that's why Avram said, he said, no, im michut v'atzroch nal, v'im mekach mikol shloch lo soma ani heshati as Avram. Because if I take something from you, the way your philosophy is unraveling, what's going to happen is, you're going to say to people, what do you mean? I'm a follower of Avram. Look, I made him wealthy. When people will come to Melech Sdom and they'll say, how could you do this? This is against the great philosopher Avram. On the contrary, I agree with him. I'm a follower of his. Look, I made him a wealthy man. So then you're going to tie my fame into your crooked, distorted philosophy, and people are going to be fooled. That's why he made that shvur. Harimosi yodim l'Hashem keel only on kodesh amayir im michut v'atzroch nal v'mekach mikol ha'shalach. Because Avram knew that this man is deviating. And what he's doing, he's going to, as a matter of fact, it's in order to become a great proponent of, to be a great, well-known, world-famous philosopher, he's going to try to tie his fame into Avram's fame. Avram had thousands of people, and he's going to say, yeah, basically I agree with Avram. They're a little different, but I'm on the same side. I also agree with him. Look, I started by him, but I have a little deviation. See? So he's going to use Avram to establish himself. That's what Avram made that for. Yes. That's right. That's what Danny's bringing is, you see, he wasn't mocked, that he took presence over there. So why over here was he so mocked? That's the reason. Because he knew what Sodom was liable to come to. That they weren't really, they weren't really on a level. They were, the emotions were very painful. He sensed that. Avram sensed that. Correct. That's correct. That's another good point. Why did he do that? That's right. That's another good point. How did Lot get in there, and why did they make him to show fate? The answer is because they respected Avram. The whole sheet that came from him, he was the one that was responsible for it. But the thing is that they said, yes, Avram's nephew, come in. It's not so simple. Like when you look at the psukim at first, everything looks very simple. He's a shayim, not so simple the way it is. Underneath was something, there was a connecting link over there. But the Torah didn't want us to know about this. Not us. I mean, the Torah didn't want people in general to know about this. You see? Now take a look at the psukim. Varashem Omar, Hamachase Ani Me Avraham, Asher Ani Osa. What does it mean? What it means is, who was responsible, really, for this Sodom? I mean, I hate to use this word. You see, the Torah doesn't want to express it that way. I'm expressing it just to show us that it means, how could I keep from Avraham what I'm going to do? Because really, Sodom was an unfortunate stillborn from Avraham's great philosophy. You see, it was a deviant. It was a deviant strain. It was a deviant strain. You see? That's why it's Hamachasani me Avram Asherani Osa. I mean, I can't. It's not right. Because Avram really has a tie to Sodom. And when I say Sodom developed into Rishayim, you have to understand it doesn't mean just clear Rishayim. There were certain aspects of Sodom there may have been some potential there. You see? It's not so clear. You know, it's very simple. You look like, here's a Rosh, I kill him. A person is made up of many combinations. That's one thing. When a person becomes a chacham, a person sees that you see an individual could say something, it'd be a terrible thing, and you think this guy's a Russian, get rid of him. Listen to his next statement, you see he's not so bad. You can't. A person isn't just a person. A person is has different elements in him. It's very hard. That's why I say bochein kloyes for leiv. God knows. We don't know. We have to always go on the good side. See, a person has a good element, he can say something crazy, horrible, even about a Zara, but you see in the next sentence he says something that's right. So you can't just throw him away. That's the whole philosophy. That's Avram Avinu. Avram didn't throw anybody away. The worst over about a Zara, took him to his house, dealt with him, spoke with him. Didn't say, you said this, I'll throw you out. See, on a medrash, there's a famous medrash. Avram wanted to throw out this old guy. Kadosh Baruch Hu said that I tolerate him all these years. He can't tolerate 5 minutes. Yeah, but then the marriage means that chesed Hashem is different than the chesed of the greatest bas v'dam. But the thing is that's what I want to impress upon you. It's not so simple. So Sodom is not such a simple phenomena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the Pasuk says, that the Lord of Pasuk, Erdono ve'era, HaKetzakoso ha'boi lai osu kolov in lo'edo. What does it mean? It means Erdono, like Rashi says, that you're dying, can't you say you're Russia? It means it shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyocho and had to investigate. I mean, had to use kaviyocho because it wants to show you that even God doesn't, you can't render a judgment. This guy's just a Russia. He's no good. Superficial judgment is no good. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyocho looked into it. So you're only a bas v'dam. If you're going to judge somebody, you must look into it very carefully. Okay? Because the Targ is the mushroom in relationship to God. So that's the limud. That's what Rashi teaches us. So it means to say that when you say Sodom or Rishonim, don't be so quick to hate them because they did these a few mices occurred. They did this, they did that. It was in discord. I would say even that the philosophy was not completely solidified, but these events took place at random in the city. It was sort of condoned. It wasn't exactly. They didn't come out with the full philosophy wasn't established yet at the time. And it was going in stages. And Melech Sodom was one stage before, and then they kept on going, tolerating these events. It doesn't mean either everybody in Sodom was a Russian, see? But since Sodom was an offshoot, a product of Avraham Avinu's philosophy, you see? So Kadosh Baruch says, Hamachasani Ma'avram Hashem Yosef, how could I do this? He's the one that's responsible. They are in a sense, in a certain sense, a certain aspect, they're following him. Avraham Avinu would have tainus. Say, how could you just destroy something that I was involved in? It's not right. It's not just. You see? Then the pasuk says, next pasuk. Va'avraham hoyo yiel goy gadol. V'nivruchu vo kol goye haaretz. But don't think that Avraham is responsible for Sodom. Why? Because Avraham's philosophy really is going to result in the greatest good. But unfortunately, in the process of going, there is a deviant string that must be destroyed. You see? That must be destroyed. Ki yedativ. What does it mean, ki yedativ? Ki yedativ means, like the Ramban says, ki yedativ means, because I know Avram, it means I am intimately related to Avram. It means, what does it mean, God's intimately? It means I know him, my Ashgacha relates to him. Why? Laman asher yitzav es bonov es beso achrov v'shomru derech had Hashem lasos tzedaka u'mishpat, the exact opposite of Sodom. That's really what's going to happen to Avram. Unfortunate is an unfortunate event. It took place, but it wasn't. That's not a measure of Avram's philosophy. Laman hovi ad Hashem al Avram es asher dibar lo. And why does God have to destroy Sodom? For the same reason. This is all because all these psukim have one reason. Why does God have to destroy Sodom? Because if Sodom continues to exist, then Avram could never be the progenitor of Tzedakah or Mishpat, because people are going to say, you know what came out of Avram? Sodom! Sodom comes from Avram. So that's why God says, I must destroy the society. Because Avram kol, only bracha will be related to Avram Avinu, not rishis. Ki yedativ laman asher yitzav es bonav es beis ha'achor. My ashgacha has to ensure that he should be able to establish a nation of tzedakah and mishpat. In order laman hovi Hashem al Avram es asher dibar alav. That's why I have to destroy Sodom. You see, that's what the pasuk says, and that's why I believe the pasuk hit it. The pasuk hid it because the Torah did not want that Sodom should chalila be related in any way to the teaching of Avram. It won't be the nivruchu vo kol goyei haaretz. It hid it carefully, concealed it carefully. Now, what did Avram say when Avram heard it? When Avram heard, so Avram said, he said, so Avram Avinu said, he said, vayigash Avram vayomer ha'af tisbet tzaddik in Russia. What was his taina? His taina was, he was very close, he felt bad because Avraham Avinu, he had a feeling for the people of Sodom, Because they were following his philosophy to an extent. Again, there could have been people... And this is exactly what I'm saying. I'm about to say it. The Pasuk says it. There could have been people in Sodom that were good people because they followed the philosophy fully. You see? What's the first question that comes to your mind? Question is, if Avram is the philosopher and he taught them the true ideas, but there's distortion because they took half of what he taught and they distorted the rest... Yeah, but the philosophy is good. The ideas are true. Maybe there are people there that are really following completely. Like I told you, I wouldn't say in Sodom that it was. Of course, the incidents took place. It doesn't mean that judge was always, every day was a Russian. It means they allowed these sadistic activities to take place, and there was a large group there that was doing this. The others sat by quietly. But it wasn't completely crazy. I mean, no human being has a certain limit to how much of Russia openly a human being can be. Even in Nazis, Yamach Shemam Zavram, you see they had problems with their rishis. But the thing is like this, that what Pasuk is saying is that it was a city with a lot of people. So what is Avram's first question? Ha'af Tisbet Tzadik in Russia? There could be people there that are following the philosophy truthfully. They're carrying it out to the proper, in the proper direction. So how could you destroy what I did? What I accomplished? Ula yesh chamishim tzadikim besocho yir. Ha'af Tisbet v'lo sisal ha'makom v'man chamishim ha'tzadikim ha'sheh b'kirba. Avraham Avinu said, I taught these people. They followed me. Some of them went away. They went crazy. But what about the ones that are there? If there's 50 tzaddikim that are there. Eich, the pas cholila l'chom esos kadar is a l'chom es tzaddik in Russia. How could you destroy a system which results in tzaddikim and results in Rishayim? Treating them above sin. So what? So let the Russia survive. But what about the tzaddikim that are gaining from the system? You see? That was the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. That was his tefillah. It's not a steerer dipsukim. It was one tefillah. The tefillah was that my system that I gave them, the system I taught them, they distorted it terribly. But there are people in there. It seems to me, I think, you know, this seemed to me that they didn't reach the level yet. Avraham Avinu wasn't completely aware, perhaps, of how what level they reached, or even if he was aware, I mean, he didn't know. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bochen Klois for the Lev, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be down the city. But he asked God. He says, "How? I don't understand. This is justice. They're following me, and it would seem to me that there should be tzaddikim there too. If there's a certain amount of tzaddikim, will you destroy them? The system leads to tzaddikim and it leads to Rishayim. Ha'af Tisbet Tzadik in Russia, you're going to destroy a system that leads to both? No. Such a system you must allow to continue and forget about the Russia." Overlook the Russia. That's why it's no steer. Af tispe lo sisa la makom laman chamishim atzadikim asher bekirba and ha'af tispe tzadikim Russia is exact same tina. It's not two tina. Same tina. Means to say, if this makom leads to a philosophy that results in a few tzadikim, a handful of tzadikim, 50 tzadikim, minimal amount, so then you can't destroy the system, even though it's going, they deviated and they went away from the whole Derech Hashem. You see, it's an amazing thing. Why? Because Avraham Avinu knew. I believe that Avraham Avinu knew when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said "Leman Asher Yitzaveh Banavas Beis Ocharav," that Avraham Avinu knew that taina too. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machasim Avraham Asher Yosef Avraham Hayilugar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him why it has to be destroyed. He says, because your name can't be associated with anything evil. But Avraham Avinu didn't care about that. In spite of that, he says, That was his tefillah. He says, I don't understand the justice. Whatever, it's true. Let's say I have to be a great nation. It's a wonderful thing, and that's what Avraham Avinu wanted. Right? But that's not just. That's not just. Just because I have to be a great nation, you can't destroy these people if, in fact, they don't deserve to be destroyed. So Avraham Avinu really, in his tefillah, went against something which emotionally a person would ordinarily be in line with, because not just emotionally, it's more than emotionally, it's philosophically, because that's what Avraham Avinu wanted. He wanted Yitzchak in order to be able to be the progenitor of a whole Ummah. And he went against that. He said, but that's not right, because if in terms of what's in reality now, Sodom does not deserve to be destroyed, then I don't care that Avram Hoyila Gagadal, but it's Cholila Lachomasos Kadavraze. You can't do this because it's unjust right now. That was his time. That was Avram's time. Okay. The last thing I just want to say that is that, you see, the tefillah, Chamishim Tzadikim, Aboyim Tzadikim, Shloshim, what is that tefillah? It means to say that when Yeshua Avram was asking God, like a Talmud Lifnei Rabbo, in other words, he was trying to understand, like, what is the ratio, what is the proper ratio in society where the society is not that evil that it could never, that it's hopeless. You know, when it's really evil, it's hopeless. I don't know how many, only God knows. You see? But he was trying to understand, to know what the shear is. What is the shear? So I started off, he had enough knowledge to know that chamishim is definitely is an amount that would mean that in the future, maybe now they're going to go through stages, but perhaps somehow or other, they're going to pull out. You see? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said chamishim will be okay. And he kept going lower, because he wanted to gain knowledge. Avraham Avinu at that point gained knowledge through Nevuah of precisely how a society, what the level of society is, where it is so distorted that it's completely hopeless. I mean, we don't know this, Mari Nevuah, Avraham Avinu knew this, Torah doesn't disclose it to us, you have to be on the level of Avraham Avinu, but that was what the Tefillah essentially was about. You see, Avraham Avinu gained knowledge as this, in terms of the society, when is the rishis reach a certain point where it's completely impossible, and why at that point, and how many people are you need to be influential, you see, in terms of saving the city. Okay? Explains the whole feel of how it goes down, you know, the different numbers, the different amounts. Okay? Just gives Russia Prokham, of course, is Mari Nevuah. You see, it means to say that the real what was the machayev of the destruction of Sodom was Avram Hayil Gagadol. Apparently, as bad as they were, even though they deserve it clear, doesn't mean that God always destroys, because a person or people don't deserve to continue to exist. Because we say marachaf beyond any kind of human understanding. But it means to say that that sealed their fate. Avram Hayil Gagadol sealed their fate. Is it going? Okay, all right. Maxim asked a good question. The question is, why is it that he keeps on saying Vanochi off of Eifer all the time? Ulai says he's asking God. Why he wants to know? He wants to have a knowledge. But the answer is like this. The answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person the ability to gain knowledge in a natural way. What he was requesting was special knowledge through Nevuah, and that's why when a person does that, he has to say that. That's why I said Vanochi Af Veifa. Because who am I to ask for this knowledge? The Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me the ability to use his mind. But when you go into the area of Nevuah, and I'll talk about that more Sunday night. When you go into the area of Nevuah, there a person's rights are limited. So that's why he asked that way. Vanochi Af Veifa. What right do I have to ask to search for this knowledge through the means of Nevuah? And the thing is, what did he learn through Nevuah? He learned one thing. I just want to make this clear. What he learned through Nevuah was that God disclosed to him what the point is precisely in a society when it's reached the stage that it's completely lost. It's irredeemable. You see, the society is irredeemable. That's the knowledge of the game. That's the knowledge of the game. Now, the one thing I wanted to add was, the Pasuk says, the pasuk says that erdano ve'era hakatzakoso habo elai osu, then it's kola. So the Chazal say, see, there's a mafikay on hakatzakoso, her cry. And Chazal say it was the cry of this one girl that they tortured to death. So I believe one of the bees. So right, the bees. So yeah, so what does it mean? Well, it was one girl. I mean, there's a lot of people are killed there. But the answer is, Rashi says, because Lefisha nosno lechem lani, she gave food to a poor person. So that means that's in line with what we said, that they were going in stages. But when it reached when it was isolated events and they just stood by, that was one level. But once it became a policy that they enforced, and anyone who deviated from this policy, then their vicious tendencies are going to be expressed against that person who is a member of the society, then the society reached a level already where it's irredeemable. That's Akatsakasa. That one person that tried to help an ani, so the policy was so institutionalized that anyone that deviated, that they themselves have to be destroyed, that was the end of the society. I was gone, okay. There is one Rashi which seems to contradict something that we're saying, because Rashi says when God destroyed the Sodom, so they did it in a time when they when it wasn't the sun or the moon. Because he says Hayom Hem Ovdim Levana, right? So there would seem to be that they it's a Rashi. I would just leave it. I mean it's a what do you call it? It's a question. But could be the answer is that really in a time of destruction, the primitive instincts, the people revert to the primitive instincts. So even though they consciously they remove themselves from these primitive things, but they would revert back at the time of the time of the destruction. See? Okay. It's a true thing. I mean, people say there are no atheists in a foxhole. It means to say when a person is in extreme danger, they revert back to the primitive. They fall back on the primitive beliefs.